This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Residents in the Outer Banks of North Carolina who didn't evacuate before Hurricane Isabel made landfall are without water, power, or food. North Carolina Governor Mike Easley says that may be the situation for a few more days.
Until we get roads back in, we can't get power back up. Highway 12, I believe it is covered with sand for a very extended period.
Stranded residents are using boats to get materials they need, but the governor says that's not a reliable source. Easley says we're in an emergency situation and we're going to treat it that way. He plans to have crews working on the highway as soon as possible. He has also vowed to look at ways to shore up the main coastal highway from being washed out every time adverse weather strikes the Outer Banks. Embattled California Governor Gray Davis appeared before a group of Democrats in Los Angeles with former Vice President Al Gore by his side. Davis spoke to a crowd protesting his recall, claiming the Republicans want to steal his governorship.
My friends, the Republicans are trying to steal an election they could not win. That's why we're here today.
He says there are no grounds for his recall as he has not done anything criminal or grossly abused the office. Davis claimed the only reason he's being recalled is because certain individuals didn't like how the election turned out. Davis believes the recall will be defeated. He contends the recall is going to make elected officials more timid and more reluctant to make tough decisions. Davis likens the recall to a parent giving their child rules to live by. He said if you discipline your child, how would you like to be recalled as a parent?
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
At least six people are reported dead in Afghanistan after an explosion tore through a home adjacent to the U.S. military headquarters. The house belonged to a local arms trader, and authorities believe munitions being stored there were accidentally set off. It's not thought the explosion was in any way an attack on the base. Owen Fay reports.
The arms trader lived next to Bagram Airport, the base for U.S. and coalition troops in Afghanistan. Authorities believe that arms and munitions being stored in the house were accidentally triggered, causing two explosions within moments of each other. Six people were reportedly killed immediately and several others injured. Coalition troops were among those helping to remove the injured and put out a fire. What's not known is how so many dangerous weapons were allowed to be stored so close to a base housing more than 12,000 coalition forces. Owen Fay, Washington.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Look for the union label at Norwalk, Connecticut furniture stores. Sales, stock, receiving, and other workers at Huffman Coos have voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 371. Local 371 President Brian Petronella explains why.
Job security, basically. A lot of people were being hired. A lot of folks were being let go. And they wanted to make sure that they had job security at Huffman Coos.
Petronella says company officials tried to discourage the workers from unionizing, but they voted in favor. The Labor Department certified the union. Petronella says they'll now negotiate with the company. Stocks pulled back in quiet trading today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dipped 14 points to 96.44. The S&P 500 ended 3 points down to 10.36. The NASDAQ erased 3 points to end the day at 19.05. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Yeah, aren't you glad it's Friday? I don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but here in the Atlanta area, all of a sudden you can feel fall. Still, it's still warm here pretty much during the day, but in the evenings it's getting down into the upper 50s. And boy, when fall hits in the south, there's nothing like it, right? Certain part of the south. You get too far south and it's just like yawn. It's the same season. But here in North Georgia, but that's not why you tuned in tonight to get a weather report, right? Program produced tonight, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here. If you'd like to call in tonight, is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net, earthlink.net. Tonight, last chance to win signed copies of Jim Hightower's Thieves in High Places. So next hour, political trivia question. It's a real stomach turner to me. The question we have for you. And the person who said it, which is what our producer wants to have you do, identify who said what was said. That's real clear, isn't it? And Uncle Mike's Story Corner later in the program. We haven't done that for a while. Uncle Mike's Story Corner. What else we got? Anything else? No, that's it with the announcements. that's all the announcements. Okay, all right. Last night, one of our callers was Lexi from New Orleans. Was that last night? I think it was last night. Anyway, she emailed in. We were talking last night about Wesley Clark, you remember. Awful lot of discussion about that. The discussion continued at MikeMalloy.com on the posting boards, the comments boards of my website. But also I got several emails at both of our email addresses regarding Wesley Clark. Boy, it seems that there are three camps here. The ones that see Wesley Clark as a complete fraud as far as a Democrat, and that message is watch out for him. He's a real snake in the grass. The other is Wesley Clark is the savior of the Democratic Party because he can whip George Bush's ass. And then the third camp is kind of like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd like to believe in Wesley Clark, but I don't know. And at least the discussion is going on. So anyway, in that vein, Lexi in New Orleans emailed in to me about Clark. The military aspect of Clark can be a double-edged sword. However, we may just need a warrior, a military thinker, to get us out of this bloody hellhole Bush has dug us into. A well-read, well-traveled, highly educated, and thoughtful military man with a global reach. In my 20-odd years, Lexi writes, of being engaged in the political process, I am hard-pressed to recall one time when my man, got the top spot on the ticket. It always ends up as a compromise. Early on, we work hard for the most perfect candidate. Regrettably, in the end, it comes down to who we can stomach the most. I live in Republican land. People here are starting to look for an alternative to Bush, someone they can stomach. Clark has at least piqued interest among the misguided legions of the lied to. And I'll bet you people now can name some of the Democratic candidates. It can only do good for the whole bunch of them. That's from Lexi. From Philip in Norco, California. Michael, listen to your show regularly. Wish I could call in and contribute, but I can't. I think the debate on Dean, Kucinich, and Clark and the other candidates is very constructive. Is very constructive until it divides us. We all know that elections are won or lost in the muddled middle, in a few swing states. Like Pennsylvania, Florida, Michigan, Missouri, Wisconsin, Ohio. Remember the compassionate conservative bull? Some are saying that if Dean or Kucinich doesn't make the nomination, they're staying home in November or they're voting green. With every progressive voter that does this, another swing or moderate Republican will exist that the Democrats will have to offset. Did you note the seething from the screech monkeys after the New Mexico and Baltimore debates? I think the unity the Democrats displayed in attacking Bush is the single best reason why we're seeing a bit of a shift. And the questions that the media and Congress are finally starting to ask these thugs, referring to Republicans here. I also think it's the best way to beat them. And then Philip closes by saying, I want Bush out. And I think you do, too. If we insist on progressive purity, we lose. And Karl Rove wins. The dumb monkeys I work with are open to a general, even if he's a Democrat. And I say, if that is an issue that can toss out the thugs, I'm in. If you suspect there's a conspiracy and Clark's a conservative stooge, tune into the Pigman or Hannity. These guys are frothing at the mouth already with their attack. In my heart of hearts, Clark's our best shot. That's from Philip in Norco, California. A couple more here. Just a couple more. Bob in Groton, Massachusetts, says, we are being sold Clark as the only electable candidate against Bush. So we who are against this war are told to settle for half a loaf. Perhaps we are seeing a less bloody way of derailing peace candidates than we saw, for example, in 1968. This whole thing has the stench of Vietnam and 1968 about it. I think the election will not give us a war, no war choice, but simply a choice of who has a better plan to win the war. Could anyone be worse in security or defense or international relations than Bush? I fear that just as Nixon had a secret plan to end the war, Clark may offer something like that, too. Perhaps it's true that only Nixon could go to China, but even Nixon wouldn't simply stop the bloodshed in Vietnam. And then this from my favorite website, second favorite website. My favorite website is my own, but my second favorite is Bart Kopp. One of Bart Kopp's contributors wrote to him, saying, Bart Kopp, Democrats should be wary of Wesley Clark. One, the press loves him. That's always a bad sign. Two, he has no political experience, but in interviews he talks like a typical politician. In other words, like a snake. He won't call Bush a liar outright. Instead, he says it in a weaselly way, ostensibly to not offend anyone who likes Bush. Three, he has not yet made it even remotely clear what his domestic policies are. Four, on his website he hardly provides any concrete proposals. And the writer goes on, his emphasis on business and the press's obsession with him leads me to believe that he is going to be staunchly on the side of big business and against labor. Right now, my money is going strictly to Kucinich, but I think Dean is, at least for now, much more palatable than Clark. Keep swinging, signed, Rob. And then Bart Kopp writes back, Rob, I'm a one-issue guy this coming election. The only thing I care about is kicking that unelected, murdering moron bastard out of the White House. If it seems like Clark has the best chance of doing that, he's got my vote. That's from Bart Kopp. I love Bart Kopp. Don't you love Bart Kopp, Ken? I mean, that's the how's his is his internet radio show kicking ass and taking names? Is it? How do people listen? Just go to BartKopp.com. You subscribe to it and listen to it. If you haven't subscribed to BartKopp.com for the radio program, do it. Okay, just do it. It's very inexpensive and well worth it. All right. Kennedy. Remember the other day, Kennedy, we didn't talk about it, but I'm sure you're aware, Kennedy lashed out against Bush's Iraq policy. In an interview with the Associated Press yesterday, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man, took another hit off his tube of parathion and had something to say about it. He lashed out at Kennedy for his criticism. In a statement released today, DeLay said, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts and other Democratic presidential hopefuls should have the courage to repudiate Kennedy's remarks, which DeLay called a new low. DeLay said, it's disturbing that Democrats have spewed more hateful rhetoric at President Bush than they ever did at Saddam Hussein. Well, Kerry fired back by saying, Tom DeLay is a bully. He tried to bully Democrats in Texas, and we're not going to accept his shrill partisan attacks or allow him to suggest that patriotism belongs to one political party. Kennedy dismissed DeLay's comments, saying that once again, Republican leaders are avoiding questions about Bush's policies by attacking the patriotism of those who question them. Well, I'll tell you what, fellas, Kennedy, Kerry, the rest of you people, what is it about Democrats? Why doesn't at least every one of the now 10 Democratic hopefuls who would like to run against Bush, why don't they issue a joint statement along with Senator Ted Kennedy and say, Bush, you're a lying son of a bitch. Everything you said has turned out to be utterly and absolutely a lie. We are united. And Tom DeLay, sit down and shut up. Why don't they do that? That's exactly what Republicans do. Every single one of them gets on the same page. Every single one of them will toss their 2 cents worth in. And then Limbaugh spins it out to the hungry masses. And then it's regurgitated by Sean the Weasel Hannity. But over here in Democrat land, over here in progressive land and liberal land, oh, well, yeah, well, Kerry said, where are the Democrats? It is so difficult to be a Democrat, isn't it? I mean, don't you sometimes just wish that the Greens were a viable party or independents were, right? So you could just leave this Democratic Party. But we can't. We can't. What we have to do is to get some courageous leadership. But, you know, we're, and not just the 10 Democratic hopefuls for the party's nomination in to run for president, but people like Daschle. How about Nancy Pelosi? Why doesn't every single Democratic leader, and some who aren't leaders, and the 10 candidates, why don't they, every time they stand in front of a camera, say, yeah, I agree with Kennedy. He lied. It was a fraud. But no, they, Kerry answers, and Kennedy answers, and Tom DeLay, you know.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard. They're all going to burn in hell. How could they attack our president?
Or something like that.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Molloy.
A nation of sheep led by a handful of pigs? Is that what that record says? Good God. No, Tom DeLay, you know, all this stuff that I was doing, he reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? And the guy sucked on, what was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? Jesus God. That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you. You know, you see visions, you know, you see God or something. And DeLay is another one of these psychopathic so-called Christians, right? He wants the bombs to start so that Jesus will part the clouds and take a look what's going on and say, oh, they're killing each other. Okay, I think I'll go back and... Frank Booth, yeah, that's Tom DeLay. But given what DeLay said about Kennedy... You know, once again, this is right out of the Newt Gingrich playbook. You know, until Newt Gingrich climbed up out of the swamp back in 92 and 93, you know, Newt Gingrich, who will never get over the fact that his doppelganger, is that how you say it, Kathy? Bill Clinton got to be president, and he, Newt Gingrich, did not. Newt Gingrich will never live that down. Newt tried everything. He tried being a sexual libertine, just like Clinton was. He tried having girlfriends like Clinton did. He tried being educated like Clinton. And all the best Newt could come up with was whining his ass off on a trip back from Europe because he had to sit in the back of the airplane, Air Force One, right? And then shut down the government. Oh, jeez. I don't want to offend anybody here, but Newt Gingrich is just a lard-ass crybaby. You know, he ought to go on the Atkins diet. He really should. He ought to lose some of that extra weight, because he just looks like a Republican thug. I don't know. If you strip Newt naked, put him in a leather diaper, put a hood over his head with holes in it, put a leather studded strap around his neck, put leather studded bracelets on him, and give him a whip. That's Newt.
That's scary.
That's scary? Yeah, that reminds me of some of our listeners, I think. but you know, he even had an affair with a woman much younger than he during the end of his marriage to Marianne. Marianne was the one he married after he... Marianne was the second or third, right? The other one was the one that just recovering from cancer surgery, where he drops off divorce papers. I mean, this guy is a real pig. Just an absolute... But he's boinking this employee of the of me. My employee, your employee. She was working on one of the House subcommittees on agriculture. Callista, whatever her last name is. And he was having this little hot affair. And everybody in Washington, now it comes out, everybody in Washington knew about Newt's hypocrisy. Nobody said anything. You know, the great American press corps. They just let it ride. Why am I talking about Newt? Newt is the one that created Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay was nothing more than a useless, crappy-ass little Republican representative from Sugar Land, Texas. But Newt taught him how to talk. Taught him how to attack. No matter what a Democrat says, attack them.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. That's the lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
Right? This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Zegers. All right, I'm getting pumped. I don't know about you folks. Oh, Brother Sky Blue's on the line. It is Friday, right? Brother Sky Blue always checks in on Friday. You never know where that conversation is going to go. All right, stick around. We have a lot of stuff to cover here that's just going to put your teeth on edge. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When you see him someday up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking. Got no shoes upon his feet. When he's out. I said that cat is high. Yes, it's high. Benny's high up in the sky.
Watch Brother's fly. Look at that little jive. You know I won't lie. Cat's high up in the sky. Boy, he's high. Oh, look at that little jive.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In the last 5 days, we have successfully concluded negotiations with five of the largest manufacturers in the world. That's five for five.
That's Ron Gettelfinger, president of the United Auto Workers, announcing tentative contracts with General Motors and auto parts supplier Delphi yesterday, the last auto companies to settle with the UAW. All parties are keeping details of the agreements to themselves, though leaked information indicates that contracts include more modest wage increases than the union's previous agreement, higher prescription drug co-payments, fewer restrictions on factory closings, and a two-tier wage system at parts suppliers that will see new hires receive salaries about 30% lower than current wages. A $3,000 signing bonus would sweeten the deal. Collectively, the agreements cover more than 300,000 active auto industry workers and 500,000 retirees and spouses.
Soldiers and police officers now run Sri Lanka's public hospitals after some 80,000 medical technicians and other hospital support staff went on indefinite strike Wednesday. The Health Services Trade Union Alliance is protesting the poverty-level salary structure of hospital workers. The government says it can't afford to give raises.
American corporations hold a collective $400 billion worth of underfunded pension plans, but don't expect to see that gap narrowed anytime soon. This week, the Senate Finance Committee voted to relax rules that would require companies to shore up their pension funds, potentially a $60 billion break to corporate America over the next 3 years. While the bill would give relief to companies whose pension funds have been decimated by the collapse of the 1990s stock market bubble, critics say it would only worsen the country's pension crisis, leading to more defaults on workers' retirement funds.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 27 past the hour. No, 27 before the hour. Hello. Brazil has decided not to send troops to help out in Iraq. I know you've been waiting all day to hear that. Brazil has turned down a U.S. request to send troops to Iraq because of what the defense minister of Brazil, José Viega, says is a difficult security situation in Iraq. Yeah. Now, this announcement today comes just a few days before President Lula, the new president, the socialist president of Brazil, is supposed to meet with too stupid to be president in Washington. The Brazilian government said Brazilian citizens understand our reasons to avoid exposure of our troops in Iraq as the situation there continues being difficult, with soldiers injured or killed almost daily. And, of course, as our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, points out, just a few days ago, the Bush crime family turned down or put a hold on, I don't know, it was $15 million. It was seven or eight figures that was to go to Brazil for AIDS aid in fighting AIDS. And because the Brazilian government was going to take some of the money to go to clinics that counsel people on abortion if that's what they want, the Bush crime family. And see, it's very cheap to do that. That keeps your base happy. The base of the Republican Party are these right-wing religious psychos. So, you know, the word gets out. The Bush halts $15 million to go for an AIDS awareness program in Brazil. And the right-wing Christians in this country go, yes, yes, that's good. Let the sons of bitches just get the disease. They shouldn't be screwing anyway. Yes, yes, George, yes. I'm going to vote for you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Brazil responds by saying, you want troops? To hell with you. No troops. So another exemplary example of our leader. Two hearings that are not going to happen that the Democrats are asking for. Two Democratic House members from South Florida, Peter Deutsch and Robert Wexler, are calling for an investigation into how 140 Saudi nationals, and God knows how many of those people were bin Laden relatives, were allowed to leave this country in the days after the September 11th, 2001 bombings, when no American could fly. Why, even though they deny it, the FBI allowed a plane to fly around the country, and the CIA allowed it, and the Bush crime family promoted it, picking up, stopping at 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 cities, sucking up these Saudi nationals and bin Laden family members, and spiriting them back to the nexus of terror on this planet, which is Saudi Arabia. So, two South Florida House members, Peter Deutsch and Robert Wexler, want an investigation. Yeah, that'll happen, Robert and Peter, on the same day they open a Dipper Dan franchise in hell. Or, unless you can motivate the people in this country to throw Bush out of office and to turn the majority of the House and the Senate back over to Democrats, then maybe, ex post facto, we can get some investigations into what this criminal enterprise did to this country in the past 3 years. It'll be four when we finally throw them out. But until then, Robert, Peter, ain't going to happen, bros. Here's another one that isn't going to happen. House Democrats on Wednesday, day before yesterday, asked for hearings into, not allegations, into the fact that the EPA misled New Yorkers about the dangers of debris in the air around the World Trade Center after the September 11th attacks. Nancy Pelosi and Representative Gerald Nadler, whose district includes Ground Zero, issued a statement. We do not want the Congress of the United States to be a party to this scandal, Pelosi said. They want an investigation. The Democrats have written House Speaker Dennis Hastert. Now listen to this. Dennis Hastert, who is nothing more than the sock puppet for Tom DeLay. Right? We know that. Dennis Hastert used to be Tom DeLay's gopher.
Dennis, go get me some coffee!
Yeah, okay. And Dennis is now, you know, the a fake toy Speaker of the House. Dennis Hastert got a letter from the Democrats requesting a congressional investigation. A Hastert spokesman said, quote, you know, Democrats have shown a consistent ability to overhype their hyperbole. How is that? Overhype their hyperbole. Investigation? No. Not today. Not next week. Not ever. Now, there was a similar push for an investigation by Senators Clinton and Lieberman. Republican leaders gave them the middle finger, too. They're a little bit slower to give the middle finger to senators because there's only 100 of them. And House members, you know, there's 435. They're kind of cheesy and cheap to Republicans. In response, Clinton has said she'll strike back. She's going to put a hold on Bush's nomination of Utah Governor Mike Leavitt to head the EPA in order to force the administration to answer questions about the EPA's actions. Senator Clinton, Senator Lieberman, ain't going to happen. Get in line with Nancy Pelosi and Gerald Nadler and who else? Wexler and Deutsch. Get in line. No, better than get in line, get to work. Take the majority of the House and the Senate back. Or maybe one of you, just one of you, just one of you in the House will have the courage to introduce a bill of impeachment. Whether it goes or not, put the American public on notice, for God's sake.
Well, no, we can't do that, Mike. You know, we support our president. We think some of you talk show hosts just get way over the top. You know, we love our president. We really do. We're Democrats. We're part of the Democratic Leadership Conference, and we love him. So, no, Mike. No, Mike, it's not going to happen. Now, calm down, Mike, for heaven's sake. Have a cup of coffee.
Brother Sky Blue is checking in from the blues capital of the world, Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Brother Sky Blue.
Yeah, Mike, one of our homeboys died last week, too.
I know.
Johnny Cash.
He did indeed.
I grew up next door to Johnny Cash's two nephews. They're the same age as me.
Yeah.
His sister, Reba Cash, lived next door to us out here in East Memphis.
Yeah.
She was married to a guy that had two thumbs on one hand.
Really?
Mike, I mean, Johnny Cash's sister... It was Johnny Cash's brother-in-law had six fingers on one hand. Now, that's just a little bit of Memphis trivia here.
Well, I think that's great. I bet he could play one hell of a slide guitar.
You know, Newt Gingrich, I kept trying to think where I heard that pansy little voice of his before, and TV Land has started rerunning these reruns of this Mr. Ed, the talking horse.
Yeah.
Wilbur.
Wilbur.
Yeah, the airhead that talks to the horse.
Right.
Sounds just like Newt Gingrich.
He does.
I know how much you hate to mention the name of our Fuhrer, you know.
Yeah.
I heard a good idea. You know, Jennifer Lopez, she cuts her name down to J-Lo.
She does indeed.
Well, maybe we could go with G-Boo.
G-Boo?
G-Boo. A couple other quick corners.
Okay.
Let me turn for our Ashcroft, Mr. Ashcroft made a big score last week with the Bong Kingpin. You know,
yeah,
Chong.
He did.
Yeah, got him 9 months in prison.
Tommy Chong,
but,
right.
But, you know, I know how to hollow out an apple, and you can put a joint in it, and you can use it as a bong.
Is that right?
Yeah, the state of Washington, I think they just decriminalized marijuana way down the other day in their election. So maybe they'll outlaw apples and bombs. But, no, I wanted to talk about this Paul Hill. He was on vacation when they executed this murderer down there. Yeah, he was saying like he was a Muslim going to the land in paradise. You know, he was going to be with sweet Jesus.
Right.
He's in hell with all the other low-life murderers. What I was thinking, though, you know, when this Aryan Nations guy, Metzer, he incited them skinheads out there and they killed that black. They got a judgment against Metzer for inciting these skinheads to murder. I don't see any difference from Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson.
Good point.
Or the Pope, you know, they should, they're all guilty. And one other thing about this fire versus fire, these fundamentalist Christians, you know, the only way they can be exposed is with the true Christian theology, which is being kept from them because of the media monopoly. I heard this, what is this guy's name that runs the FCC? Is it Dave Thomas?
The FCC?
Yeah.
No, Michael Powell.
Oh, Michael Powell, yeah. You know, I saw him on the other, and he was talking, he was justifying how we should allow the big media conglomerates to merge, you know, Warner and CBS, Disney. He said, well, take a look at the sitcom Friends. He says, how can we pay? He said, these companies have a lot of expenses.
Uh-huh.
He said, how else can they pay Jennifer Aniston $1 million? And how can they afford to pay $10 million an episode for this kind of quality programming? I mean, has that guy never heard of the BBC or something? Where do they get these fruitcakes?
I don't
know. You
know,
and now, I don't, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic, but they're coming out now. They're talking about Mel Gibson's movies.
Right.
You know, as far as these sitcoms go, if you listed all them producers of them sitcoms, it looked like Schindler's List. But, you know, as far as these Christian fanatics, the theology of Emanuel Swedenborg spoken over the airways, it can show these people the error of their ways. But if anybody wants to examine Swedenborg's writings, they better be careful when they go to the library.
Yeah.
Maybe they should just photocopy the book, or maybe steal the books.
There you
go. When you check it out, then you're on Ashcroft's list.
Listen, before you go, Brother Sky, anything you want to say about Muslims? You've insulted Christians and Jews. Anything to Muslims?
I say that we have more in common with the Muslims than we do with the fundamentalist Christians and the Jews.
All right. Well, Brother Sky, good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, sir. You have a nice weekend. You got to love him. You got to love him. What? What'd you say, Kathy?
I said, and we do.
And we do. Remember when the Bush crime family told us there was going to be a natural gas shortage? Huh? Think back. Bing! There it is. It took a while to pop into your head, didn't it? But remember, going to be a natural gas shortage. We've got quotes around here somewhere. Don't dig them up, Kathy. That's right. You know, you're too busy over there. But where Bush is talking about natural gas shortage in this hemisphere, and he wanted to... Well, now it turns out, according to Bloomberg Business News Service, that natural gas futures in New York have fallen to a nine-month low. Now, what does that mean? That means there is a glut of natural gas on the market. Inventories, according to the U.S. Energy Department, that's the organization run by Spencer Abraham, you know, the rotund guy with the real bad thyroid problem, I guess, because his eyes are bulging out of his head, you know. Anyway, the U.S. Energy Department said inventories rose by a record amount last week. Yeah? Energy companies have stowed 102 billion cubic feet of gas last week. And it says the largest ever for this time of year. Gas futures have lost almost two-thirds of their value. Huh? You with me here? The Bloomberg News Service went on to say, rising inventories indicate, quote, utilities are getting enough of a cushion into the ground, into storage, natural gas, that we may not see the kind of financial panic we saw last winter, end quote. Natural gas for October delivery fell 17 cents, 3.7%. That's all I'm going to say about it because, you know, my eyes, like yours, glaze over about this kind of stuff. But remember when the Bush crime family told us? Sure you do. Remember? Remember? Natural gas shortage. Oh, we're all going to go to hell. We have to invade. We have to build the pipeline across Afghanistan. We have to get the natural gas out of Central Asia. Oh, my God, we're all going to freeze to death. All the little ladies are going to have babies in incubators. Everybody's going to die. Oh, God, come on, let's go. Bomb, invade, attack. Where do you suppose they're getting this natural gas since the pipeline into Central Asia hasn't been constructed yet? Probably never will be because Afghanistan is reverting to what Afghanistan has been for 400 years, a sump hole of tribal insanity with warlords dividing up the country. And as long as Americans are there, dead Americans. Oh, that's right, and also the opium capital of the world. But so here we are. Natural gas futures fall as the inventory hits record. That's what the Bloomberg Financial News Service headline is. These people can't tell the truth about anything, can they? Huh? Absolutely nothing. Well, that's good news. Isn't that good news? That means your heating bill this winter is going to be reasonable. Of course, the time is coming when you won't need heating bills. The Saudis are considering a nuclear bomb. Huh? See, this is kind of catch-up night. All the stuff we missed this week. The Saudis, in response to the current upheaval in the Middle East, which they've created, along with Bush and Ariel Sharon. The Saudis, in response to the current upheaval in the Middle East, have embarked on a strategic review that includes acquiring nuclear weapons. That's according to the Guardian of London. Now, the Saudis immediately deny this, which means it's absolutely true. A strategy paper being considered at the highest levels in Riyadh sets out three options. First, to acquire a nuclear capability as a deterrent. Second, to maintain or enter into an alliance with an existing nuclear power that would offer protection. Well, see, that used to be us, but not anymore. And third, I love this one, to try to reach a regional agreement on having a nuclear-free Middle East. Why are you laughing? Well, I'm thinking about Israel's 200-plus nukes. Yeah, Israel's going to say, yeah, enter into an agreement with Saudi Arabia and Iran and what's left of Iraq and what else is considered the Middle East? Qatar and Oman and is Turkey? No, Turkey wants to be part of Europe. So the Israelis are going to say, okay, yeah, we think that's a great idea. Where do you want us to dump these 200 nukes? Huh? Yeah, right. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
There's gas in our hemisphere. And the fundamental question is, where is it going to come from? I'd like it to be American gas.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Ah!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Something up, blow something up. That's what bombs were meant for. So you could blow stuff up. Come on, let's roll. Let's blow something up.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Four and a half before the hour. Coming back after the break here at the top of the hour, we will have a trivia question for you. Two of Jim Hightower's Thieves in High Places to be given away, both signed copies. So political trivia next hour. Also next hour, I'm going to try to squeeze in Uncle Mike's Story Corner. We're just chock-a-block with good entertainment for you tonight, right? Charles is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing, pal. How are you?
You got me in a bind, Mike.
What's up?
I don't know whether to try to find old Tom DeLay and take a hit off of his bug spray or to go out there and find Sky Blue and hit his stash.
I'd go with Sky Blue. I would go with Memphis Sky. Anybody who talks about Emanuel Swedenborg, for heaven's sake, you got to love him, right?
You got to love him.
Oh, man.
Hey, Mike, you know, we're still your base out here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we missed you. I didn't have a chance to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir, I know that.
How was your vacation?
Oh, it was great. We had a good time. Did nothing. Read two books. Read Bob Franken's Al Franken's book and Joe Connison's book, and fished and went for long walks and, you know, did some recreational stuff, and that's about it.
And couldn't wait to get back.
You must be out of your mind. No, I don't, really, we started missing it. We started missing the intensity and the, you know, close to the edge with a heart attack or a stroke. You know, you miss that after a while. So, yeah, we wanted to come back.
Well, Mike, like I've said before, you are the ringmaster.
Well, thank you, Charles.
Now, Mike, you know, I've...
The ringmaster says you better hurry up. We're running
okay.
out of time.
this... hurricane coverage that we got this week.
Oh, man, wall to wall.
And it was very coincidental that there was a big firefight in Iraq at the same time.
Yeah, well, I think the hurricane was put together by somebody in Ashcroft's Justice Department just to divert attention, don't you?
I believe so.
The thing that intrigued me about the hurricane, Charles, was it slammed right into Virginia Beach where the Reverend, what's his name, Pat Robertson, has his nest of thieves and liars and Christ defilers. And remember, Robertson said he prayed a hurricane away from Virginia Beach once before, so I guess God has decided to disconnect Pat Robertson and say, hey, you're out of here. Isn't that funny that Pat Robertson hadn't said anything about this hurricane?
Well, that's because he's probably hunkered down with George Bush at Camp David, shivering right about now.
Yeah, I'd like to see him hunkered down. Charles, don't be a stranger, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. Have a nice weekend, too. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. We've got all sorts of fun and frivolity planned for you. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Thousands of Baltimore area residents are without power after Hurricane Isabel, and that means refrigerated foods have probably spoiled. City Health Commissioner Dr. Peter Bielenson has some guidelines.
Perishable food, meats, dairy products, etc., that has not been refrigerated appropriately for 2 hours or longer should be thrown out. If you have any doubt, when in doubt, throw it out.
Foods that have been soaked by floodwater should also be thrown out. Frozen foods can generally last up to 24 hours. Dr. Bielenson says after the August power outages in New York City, emergency room visits increased due to illnesses caused by spoiled food. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will again tackle California's controversial recall election. The full bench of the appellate court has agreed to reconsider a ruling made Monday by three judges from the court delaying the October 7th vote. Chuck Diamond, who argued the appeal to the federal court, says he's optimistic.
We think it's headed for reversal, and I think this election's going forward.
The panel sided with civil rights activists who argued the vote should be postponed because of reliability concerns of outdated punch card voting systems still used in some districts. A major explosion has rocked Baghdad. Sky News reports a huge cloud of smoke was seen rising from the direction of where the U.S. military maintains a base. The report says the explosion was felt at the Palestine Hotel, approximately 2.5 miles from where the explosion is believed to have taken place.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days. Guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
The United Nations Security Council has unanimously approved a resolution to send up to 15,000 peacekeepers to Liberia. The force will help rebuild the country and stop the reign of terror of militias that still control large areas in the center of the war-torn nation. Steve Mort reports.
The U.S.-drafted resolution authorizing a force for Liberia creates a new operation that would also include 250 military observers, 160 staff officers, and 1,100 international police. It would also integrate some of the West African soldiers there now into the UN force within weeks. The 15-member council created the mandate for a year, but the force is expected to take 3 to 4 months to get on the ground. Nigeria's been the major player in peace efforts in Liberia, where its troops make up the bulk of the current West African peacekeeping force. Steve Mort reporting.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications Visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
The three-week strike at Yale University is over. Rank-and-file union members voted this afternoon to accept the new contract reached yesterday with the school. It reportedly is an 8-year deal that doubles pensions and raises salaries by about 5%. Clerical, technical service, and maintenance workers began their walkout August 27th. No one was injured after smoke in the cockpit forced an American Airlines jet to make an emergency landing at O'Hare Airport this morning. The plane took off for Calgary, Canada, just after 11. A few minutes later, the pilot reported the smoke and requested an emergency landing. He landed safely and all 77 people on board evacuated the plane on the taxiway. The passengers will be put on another plane. Investigators are trying to figure out the source of the smoke. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 14 points to 96.44. The S&P 500 slid 3 to 10.36. The NASDAQ was down 3 as well to end the day at 19.05. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to open-loop recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand-new Mercedes. And, like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Lycos. Lycos, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 minutes past the hour. All right, I think what we're going to do, let me ask the trivia question now, and if you think you have an answer, if you do have the correct answer, you will get one of two copies of Jim Hightower's book, Thieves in High Places, signed by Mr. Hightower himself. All right? Here's the question. Last April, when asked in an interview about whether or not she and her husband watched the Iraqi war coverage on television, who said the following? Quote, "Why should we hear about body bags and deaths and how many and what day it's going to happen and how many this or what do you suppose? Oh, I mean, it's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that?" Was it Elizabeth Dole, former First Lady Barbara Bush, current First Lady Laura Pickles Bush? Okay, here's the question again. Who Last April, when asked in an interview about whether or not she and her husband watched the Iraqi war coverage on television, said the following, quote, "Why should we hear about body bags and deaths and how many, or what day it's going to happen, how many this, or what do you suppose? Oh, I mean, it's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that? Was it Elizabeth Dole, former First Lady Barbara Bush, current First Lady Laura Pickles Bush?" Now, if you were listening to this program last April, you'll know the answer immediately. If you have recall, if it hasn't been burned out, you know, if your short-term memory loss hasn't been smoked away. But we talked about this because, to me, it was one of the most unfeeling yet typical remarks from this particular person. It is very indicative of the ruling class in this country, isn't it? I mean, come on. The Republican ruling class. They don't care about death. They don't get somebody else's. Oh, they'll do anything to keep their worthless asses alive. But, they don't care about somebody else's death.
Hey, well, I hope he was a Christian, because if he dies, then he goes right to heaven. So don't worry about it. It's just like Islamic fundamentalists, right?
Well, it's okay if he dies blowing himself and 15 Israeli civilians up, because you'll go right to heaven, right? Have you got an answer yet? I guess my producer is getting the answers. That's good. All right, let's go to while we're waiting for. Did you talk with Jerry already? And he doesn't know. Okay, good. I don't mean good. Hey, Jerry, I just want you to come on the air if you did know the answer and give it and blow it for everybody else, so to speak.
Well, I thought I did, but apparently I don't.
Oh, so. That's the. Wait a minute. Who have I got? Yeah, I've got Jerry here.
Yeah, from Tulsa.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, now it does.
Now it does?
Yeah, okay, never mind. What'd you call about, Jerry?
Excuse my inflection, Mike.
That's all right. That's
Regarding truth in advertising, neocons, I guess, comes from neoconservative.
Right.
And neo, of course, means new, which Right. Everybody uses because of the Matrix or whatever. But why don't we just call it newcon?
Newcon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I guess because we like it. I guess that's is that a Latin or a Greek prefix? I guess it's Latin.
Right.
Or it's probably Greek.
Well, we're calling them cons anyway. They're accepting it.
Yeah, that's
true.
I'm
saying they are the new cons.
Well, they don't see themselves as neocons. They see themselves as saviors of America. They see themselves as just plain old conservatives. But a plain old conservative would be somebody like Bob Dole, okay? He's a plain old conservative.
Well, and I kind of agree with George Soros. I don't know if you've seen his speech on C-SPAN that a good term for them is American supremacists.
Yeah, right. That's good, too, American supremacists. Yeah.
You know, I got in holy hell bathwater at school because I remarked that, instead of the Holy Land, I'd like to call the whole place the horror stand.
Horror stand?
When I become emperor of the world.
Like H-O-R-R-O-R, horror stand.
Right.
Yeah.
Because stand means land,
right.
And everything over there is named Stan.
Yeah.
Is Stan, Bull Stan,
everything,
whatever Stan.
Yeah.
And whore, because there ain't nothing holy going on over there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll vote for it when you become dictator of the world.
Well, and, you know, CNN already kind of beat me to it, because now on their marquee on news from the Middle East, and now I have to sing Holy Land Horror.
Holy Land Horror?
Yes.
They're saying it already?
They are saying it already. And you know, Bush is, well, you know, Iraq's problem, you were talking about Iraq and oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always been the problem with OPEC, is that Saudi Arabia didn't want them to produce so much oil. They were always having to put a cap on their production.
Right, keep the prices up, sure.
To keep the prices up.
Yeah.
Which goes to your point about the natural gas, which is abundant throughout Central Asia and Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this goes to my point about Bush being a Luciferian worshiper.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, I know you're serious. You're serious, Jerry.
And precisely because, again, the temples, the old fire temples, they used to be used in the Zoroastrian religion, were located on fields of natural gas.
Really?
Yes, because that's what they used to light their flames that they used to worship.
That's cool. I like that.
Oh, yes. And there are actually paintings in ancient Babylon of the Zoroaster's temples, and they look just like fire.
Wow.
Just like old Derek's.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, well, and again, that goes as to why they believe in global warming.
Yeah.
Which I saw a spokesperson for Conoco, or actually like the CEO of Conoco, on a firing line one day go... talk about, you know, how global warming was such a good thing.
Yeah.
And again, that's why they're fire worshippers or whatnot. And again, it goes back to, you know, the worship of the gas through the temples, Zoroaster, whatever.
Right.
But, and you know, that is, the fundamentalist Christian, that is what the Antichrist is supposed to be doing right now, is precisely what Hal Jorge of the Junta.
Right.
No, I'm serious. That's what,
I know.
I
know you're serious, Jerry. It's just all is so, I don't know, darkly amusing.
And you know, the Antichrist has to, first thing is he has to reorganize Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Bush is doing over there right now.
Yeah, he is. Well, Babylon is reorganizing him, trust me.
But, hey, regarding Saudi Arabia, and then I'll split, and then I'll go.
Okay.
Now, I've been told, and I heard this on the shortwave a couple of years ago, but I thought that it was quite interesting. You know, they have a lock for when the oil does run out.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lock on when the world is set up on a worldwide grid,
right.
They're going to have a cap on solar energy.
Well, I doubt if it ever rains in Saudi Arabia, does it?
Right. And think about it. They have the two things that are essential for solar energy, to capitalize on solar energy, that is, they have sun, and they have the sand to make the photovoltaic cells.
I think you just stumbled on the future of the Middle East.
Well, Horistan, you mean.
Horistan.
Yeah.
Jerry, good to hear from you.
Ciao.
All right, sir. We have our two winners. Do we give their names? Do you want to open your mic and give the names? You know, first name and city. Oh, pick up line 5. Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, thank you. I'm a new listener to your show, and I guessed Barbara because
Barbara
I read
Bush,
about her in Franken's book.
Yeah. Here's the whole quote. Let me give it to you in context. Barbara Bush was on an ABC TV morning show, and she was asked if she and her husband, Pappy Bush, watched television coverage of the Iraq War. And the full quote is, quote, "He sits and listens, and I read books because I know perfectly well that, well, don't take offense, that 90% of what I hear in television is supposition when we're talking about the news. And he's not as understanding of my pettiness about that. But why should we hear about body bags and deaths and how many, what day it's going to happen, and how many this, or what do you suppose? I mean, it's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that and watch him suffer?"
Yeah, I read how rude she was to Franken in Franken's book, and it's funny. Those Franken's book and the other one you mentioned,
Joe Connison's book.
Connison, that's the one I'm reading currently. Those are the first two hardback current books that I bought in 20 years, probably, because I've gotten fired up here listening to you. And
yeah, Big Lies by Joe Connison. That's a good book, too. The one I'm starting now is the one by, oh, God, don't do this to me. Not another senior moment. The Clinton... The Clinton Wars by Sidney Blumenthal.
Uh-huh.
The Clinton Wars, is that what it is, Kathy? Yeah, Clinton Wars.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, maybe 20 pages into it, and that is a lengthy book. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one thing while I got you on the phone. You don't subscribe to some of this really wacko conspiracy stuff, do you? I mean, I sent an email the other day saying it ain't so, because I heard a guy going on about
Bush,
JFK assassination.
Well, let me just say this about that. I did not for a minute, and this goes back to an interview I did when I was writing for a newspaper here in Atlanta with Mark Lane, the one who wrote the book Rush to Judgment. I don't for a moment, not a half a heartbeat, believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was responsible for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I
really?
Simply do not. Absolutely. I'll go to my grave not believing it. I wish that the truth could come out, but I no more accept that Lee Harvey Oswald, up in the Texas School Book Depository, was such an expert shot that he was able to do what he did. I do not believe that, Jerry. Now, as far as what did happen, I have no idea. I honestly believe that the U.S. military was involved. I believe the CIA was involved. Beyond that, people like Pappy Bush or Lyman Lemnitzer or the Joint Chiefs of Staff or some Republican operatives or industrialists in the military-industrial complex, I have no idea. But this was a professional, planned hit.
Well, it really wasn't a very difficult shot. He only got one good hit out of three. So, I mean, well, people hype it as being something different.
I simply cannot. And watching the movie, Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, did not bring me to that. Like I said, it goes all the way back to, let me think for a second, probably 1975 or 76 when I interviewed Mark Lane. We spent a better part of an entire day together here in Atlanta, just cruising the city and having lunch and talking about what he had investigated, what he had discovered in writing, getting ready to write the book, Rush to Judgment. And I cannot. I will never accept it. And
well, I think there might have been a little bit of cover-up after the fact because maybe the CIA realized that they had lost track of somebody that they should have been watching closer, but that's to me, that's as far as it could have gone.
I think.
But anyway, thank you so much for your show.
All right. Well, Jerry, I'm glad you won the book. Hope you find time to read it.
Yeah, I certainly will.
All right, sir. Take care, and thank you. And we had another winner, right, Kathy? You did have another one. What was the other person's name? Huh?
We had Donna in Milwaukee, Oregon.
Well, way to go, Donna and Jerry. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Never, never.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
It's time for another trip into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you into the dark hole of corporate claims about the virtues of their packaged food products. Our guide is Consumer Reports magazine, which probes the crassness of commercialism every month. Here's a pick to get us started. Dairy Fresh. If you like fresh cream in your coffee, you might reach for this. Unless you happen to see the fine print confessing that ultra-pasteurized Dairy Fresh never saw the inside of a cow barn. It's non-dairy creamer. Then there's the big summer sausage that the Hillshire Farm proudly labels Yardo Beef. Now that's a hunk of sausage. But it's not a yard-long hunk by any stretch of the imagination. More like a foot and a half. But 16 and a quarter inches of beef just wouldn't have the same zing. So what the hell? Call it a yard. Let's give credit for truth in packaging, though, to the Dole Company. Its bag of peeled mini carrots has this reassuring disclosure right on the front. Contains carrots. If you think it's absurd that Dole would feel it necessary to tell us that its bag of carrots contains carrots, you've not tried the Brie and Peppercorn Gourmet Spread. Flip the box over to read the list of gourmet ingredients, and the only cheese it mentions is cheddar. Keep flipping the box, and you'll finally solve the mystery when you find this bit of small type. Brie-type flavor. Apparently, though, we can rest assured that the peppercorns are real pepper, not pepper-type flavor. The consumer who's most disappointed with product packaging, however, has to be the fellow who eagerly cracked open his fortune cookie and found not a message of hope, mystery, insight, humor, or good luck, but this crass pitch. Promote literacy. Buy a box of fortune cookies today. This is Jim Hightower saying that's clear grounds for a deceptive packaging lawsuit, or at least another cookie.
That Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Yeah, that's what he said. Kathy, I want you to play that again. This is George W. Bush just the other day when he made what to me amounts to an admission of fraud. And we're not going to impeach him over this. We will impeach him if he has oral sex in the Oval Office, but we're not going to impeach him when he lies to the extent that people in this country believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with the attack on September 11th, and as a consequence of that belief, the American public, to a vast degree, supported the invasion of Iraq and the subsequent deaths of Iraqi civilians and U.S. soldiers. So, play it again.
Now, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Now, for months, editor and publisher in today's edition says the following: for months leading up to this year's war in Iraq, the Bush administration strongly suggested Saddam Hussein had a hand in the attacks on September 11th. The argument was well received by Americans and might have been the single leading factor behind public support for the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Now, let's play this for you.
No, we've had no evidence that Saddam...
No, not that one. Here we go.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of al-Qaeda.
Okay. Now, the repetition of that over and over and over again resulted in the poll conducted by the Washington Post last month revealing that 69%, call it 70% of Americans, believe that Hussein was personally involved in 9/11. Now, I've said before, and we can all agree, that we as a people are probably the stupidest, least informed people, politically speaking, in the history of the human race. That's because of our media, and it's because of our schools, and it's also because of the demagogues who lie 24/7 on America's airwaves. That would be the pig man and his spawn, Sean Hannity. That's all they do, is fill the airwaves with lies. So, while I hold us responsible, we the people, I certainly can understand why we the people are so grossly and abysmally ignorant. 70% of us really do believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with this, right? Now, no evidence, because there is none, to support this has emerged. And as I said, that can be translated very simply. The media have failed in their duty to correct the public misperception. Now, I have cut a lot of slack to the print medium and have blamed television. I'm going to change that now. The print medium is just as venal and vile and responsible for this as television. Why? When Bush admitted on Wednesday, you got it queued up? Play it again.
Now, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Okay, when Bush said that on Wednesday for the first time, that there was no evidence, you would assume that that would be big news, right? And an opportunity for the press, whether it's electronic or print, to make up for what they have done to your brain and my brain in the past 3 years. Wouldn't you think that? I say 3 years because they have given Bush more of a pass than any president in the history of this republic. Now, to some newspapers, it was a big story, Bush's admission. The L.A. Times and the Chicago Tribune, both of which are owned by the Tribune Company, ran front-page stories on what Bush said on Wednesday. They ran front-page stories on Thursday. But what about the rest of America's newspapers? Eh? I'll share that with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Groundwater can seep into the courtroom when there is not enough to go around. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The Ogallala Aquifer is North America's largest reserve of groundwater. It's a thick layer of wet sand that supplies 8 states with fresh water that's essential for agriculture. This big sandy sponge has been the focus of numerous lawsuits. Jim Gakey is a research hydrogeologist at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. He says Nebraska sits above half the water in the aquifer. Gakey says there are tens of thousands of wells in the state, and people in adjacent states don't want to see any more.
And I checked the statistics just in Nebraska, and at the start of 1980, we had almost 67,000 high-capacity registered irrigation wells. And as of the end of 2002, we were pushing 94,000 wells here in Nebraska alone. And in many areas in Nebraska now, we have moratoria established, limiting further installation of high-capacity wells. And a lot of that's driven by court cases between adjacent states.
Gakey says a lot of water conflicts spring from a lack of information. He says more research is needed to monitor groundwater levels, and that would help ease conflicts between states.
I really like the idea that, you know, these are the united, not the divided states, and that we ought to be able to get along as we work out the future of a resource that transcends state political boundaries.
The Ogallala Aquifer holds 20% of the groundwater in the United States. The 8 states above it recently formed the Ogallala Aquifer Institute to work on public education and management issues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees. Some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Well, let me know.
till freedom is a rumor.
News.
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 More news.
The first is next.
Westinghouse and Minnie Mouse in the house.
27 before the hour. All right. Play the Bush soundbite one more time, Kathy.
Now, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Can you believe that? Of course you can, because you understand like I do, and like a growing number of Americans understands, that Bush and his gang will say anything. They are liars. They are killers. They are immoral. They are unethical. We've been down the list. So, now, who covered that story? Television, I guess, gave it some play. But as far as newspapers are concerned, it was a front page story the next day in the L.A. Times and the Chicago Tribune, both owned by the same paper. But editor and publisher, which is a trade magazine for the newspaper business, among other things, they ran an analysis. And they found that the story was either buried deep within the nation's newspapers or completely absent. All right? Of America's, here's what they say, of America's 12 highest circulation daily newspapers, only the LA Times and the Tribune and the Dallas Morning News ran anything about it on the front page. In the New York Times, the story was on page 22. You know, that almost makes me want to cancel my subscription. I swear to God it does. But anyway, page 22 of the New York Times. USA Today, page 16. Houston Chronicle, page 3. San Francisco Chronicle, for God's sake, page 14. Washington Post, page 18. Newsday, page 41. New York Daily News, page 14. New York Post, Wall Street Journal, they didn't mention it at all. Not a word. Now, the Post is owned by Murdoch, and the Wall Street Journal is the mouthpiece for corporate America. But the New York Times, page 22, the Chronicle in San Francisco, 14? Now, the story was even more dramatic than just Bush standing there like the simian brain-dead thug that he is and making that statement, because his statement came on the heels of an assertion to the contrary made by Dick Cheney Sunday on Meet the Press. We played it for you. As a matter of fact, do we have that one again? Do we have that? What is the clip that we have on? No, we have a different clip. I'll get to that in a second. But Cheney on Meet the Press on Sunday said, well, he's not surprised that 70% of the American public. He alluded to the fact, well, of course, while the simian jackass Bush and the rest of these thugs are running around the country saying, oh, no, we never said that. We never said that. Cheney is on national television saying, I'm not surprised that people make that connection. If we're successful in Iraq, then we will have struck a major blow right at the heart of the base, if you will, the geographic base of the terrorists who had us under assault now for many years, but most especially on 9/11. That's what Cheney said. Again, this corrupt... be careful now, Mike. Okay. This corrupt vice president will continue the lie until he flatlines. Can I say that? Yeah, I can say that. Now, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, sent me this morning. He said on C-SPAN this morning, people wanted to know why the question wasn't about the fact that Bush said there was no link between Hussein and 9/11. The moderator made excuses, hanging up on one of the callers, saying that they were talking about the resignation of Richard Grasso, the New York Stock Exchange chairman, and to the first caller, the moderator, to the first caller who asked the question, the moderator said, we discussed this last month. I just presumed that our viewers knew what President Bush did. Now, that's a lie. As Chris in Minnesota points out, first of all, the moderator is a lie. The issue was not discussed a month ago. Secondly, how could it be? Was C-SPAN psychic? It's not only not true, it's an impossibility. How could C-SPAN know that George W. Moron was going to say what he said yesterday, a month ago? The answer is they couldn't, and they didn't. The moderator was lying for purposes unknown. Instead of talking about Bush's admission, the question of the day on C-SPAN this morning was, should we be giving $87 billion to Iraq and Afghanistan? And Chris in Minnesota says, ah, don't you just love the freedom we have in this country? So then you have people calling in, Chris writes, about how they would give their firstborn to George Bush if they could. One woman said, and I quote, $87 billion isn't that much money. Another woman said, we're trillions of dollars in debt, but it doesn't mean anything, just paper. So even C-SPAN, don't anybody talk to me about public television or public radio. Oh, I know. I love listening to Terry Gross's program, Fresh Air. There's a couple of programs, The Infinite Mind. But when it comes to politics, public television or C-SPAN are just as big a whores, prostitutes as the networks are. They just don't have commercials that you know about. Now, Cheney. First, let me tell you this. You probably already know it. Here's a story from the AP. U.S. troops, backed by attack helicopters and armored vehicles, fought an overnight battle Friday on the outskirts of Tikrit. Today, Friday. After coming under a coordinated attack that killed three soldiers and injured two. Though U.S. troops come under near-daily attacks, the battle in around the village of Al-Uja was unusual, both because of its intensity and its length. The fighting lasted from 8 p.m. Thursday until daybreak, the military said. In what the commander of the 4th Infantry Division's 1st Brigade called a coordinated attack, the enemy attacked two operating bases on the western bank of the Tigris River and ambushed a patrol on the east side. Three U.S. soldiers were killed, two were wounded, according to Colonel James Hickey, the 1st Brigade commander. Two soldiers were brought to a medical station in a blood-soaked vehicle, were listed in stable condition. The attacks were carried out, three attacks, all coordinated, carried out with rocket-propelled grenades, heavy machine guns, assault rifles. The fighting took place among mud and brick houses that lined the Tigris and among the hamlets that spread outwards from downtown Tikrit. Colonel Hickey said the attack showed remarkable coordination. He went on to say, it is unusual. We have seen instances of coordinated attacks two times in the past out of the scores of ambushes. But this one was coordinated. And this time, something that we are worrying about and something that we're paying attention to. Now, Dick Cheney. Here's what he said last Sunday.
Most of Iraq today is relatively stable and quiet. According to General Abizaid, the actual number of daily incidents this month is significantly below what it was last month.
Now, that's when he addressed the Air Force Association. When was that, Kathy? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, one day this week. I want you to play it again. Let it queue up, and I want you to play it again. Okay? Ready? Go ahead. Play it again.
Most of Iraq today is relatively stable and quiet. According to General Abizaid, the actual number of daily incidents this month is significantly below what it was last month.
Now, Cheney is the worst. God, Secretary of Defense. What else was it? Vice President, a member of Congress. He is a liar. He's a killer. And the day's coming when this guy is going to flatline. And there's going to be all kinds of people, oh, he was such a good man, and he defended freedom and justice, and he really was behind our troops. Yeah, way behind. And he sits there and lies. He lies. How, you know, you would think that when you were addressing a military audience, as he was in that soundbite, the Air Force Association, that those people would have stood up when he said that, turned their backs on him, and walked out. No, Dick, things are not calm in most of Iraq. Things are hell in Iraq. Listen to your own commanders. I can't stand sneaks, and I can't stand liars. I really can't. I mean, those two aberrant types of behavior, lying and being a sneak, it drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. That's the kind of behavior that you teach your children not to participate in. Don't lie, because lying corrupts everything. And don't be a sneak. Have the courage to stand up and say, this is what I want to do, and do it, or else debate it, or don't do it. But don't be a sneak. And what do we have running this country? Sneaky liars. What's the death toll on our side so far in Iraq? 300 and what? 10? 15? How many have died since this punk danced around the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln? It is so hard not to, if you're paying attention to all this, not to just go absolutely berserk, right? Huh? Just go absolutely berserk. To hear these lies daily, the deceptions, the lies, the duplicity, the disrespect for law, for the lives of our soldiers. And you know what we are in Iraq and Afghanistan? We are in, I hate this word, a quagmire. We are stuck. The tar baby has us. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? We are stuck. Now, what are we going to do? John McCain said, well, let's send 500,000 troops there. This is a guy who saw what happened in Vietnam when you send 500,000 troops. It means more U.S. dead. And George Bush and Dick Cheney and the American Zionists that run this government put us there, put our troops there, put our soldiers there, and they are dying every single day. And they're going to continue to die. And they're going to continue to kill people. You know what the outcome of this is going to be? It's going to be the roof of the American embassy in Saigon all over again. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be people clinging to the runners of helicopters trying to get the hell out of Dodge before the NVA comes rolling down the main street, comes floating down the Pearl River. That's what it's going to be. Only it's going to be the Tigris. This is what they have done to this country. This is what they have done to us. And now the Bush crime family is going around the world. Hey, we need soldiers. Hey, we need money. Hey, give us. Hey, hey, hey. And the world is telling George Bush and his killers to go straight to hell. But our people, our soldiers, our young men, our middle-aged men, and our young women, and our middle-aged women, people that join the National Guard and the reserves, over there being shot dead because they're not in a war. This is not a war. This was an invasion. This was invading somebody else's country. A dirty, filthy tyrant? Yes. But it doesn't make any difference. So the killing's going to continue. You have somebody in the service? You have somebody in the military? Pray for them if you do that sort of thing. Or work to get them out. Or work to overthrow this government legally and peacefully so we can get our people out. That's the only way it's going to happen. We have got to leave Iraq. We have got to leave Afghanistan. We would not even be there were it not for the greed and the criminality of the people who run this country. Do you understand that? Do you? So on the day after Bush admits there is no connection, 70%, for God's sake, of the American public believes that Saddam Hussein was directly involved in 9/11. Where did we get that opinion? Where did that come from? Did we all sit down and say, well, now somebody's responsible, let me see. Well, according to my reading of history and political science and contemporary events, aha, it's Saddam Hussein. No. That's not where we got that idea. That's not how we got that idea at all. Because of the lies told by the Bush crime family, the illusions, the carefully worded little snotty comments to build into the minds of the American public who was responsible so they could carry off their invasion of Iraq, for Christ's sake! Iraq! And then the American media. American newspapers, the day after, don't even report the story.
Or if they do, page 18, page 22, page 41, page 6, page 9, page nothing. So it never happened, right? You haven't seen it on television? Oh, you see a little bit buried in newspapers? Well, it never happened. We never heard. The American public, for the most part, has not heard. Do the survey tonight. Do it tonight, Zogby or CBS or Gallup. Do the survey tonight. Ask this question. Was Saddam Hussein involved in the attacks on this country on 9/11/2001? And I will guarantee you, as I'm sitting here, I will put my job on it. I'll put the life of my firstborn. Okay, not that. On the answer coming back would be probably 65 to 70% of Americans saying, well, of course he was involved in it. What kind of a question is that? Of course he was. That's why we're fighting for freedom and justice in Iraq. Ask it tonight, even though Bush came out on Wednesday and the lying little bastard said, no connection. The American media, I've cut print medium a lot of slack because that's where I started out. No more.
As part of your master plan, ruling your congregation and petroleum domination, justifying your new invasion with moral indignation. You got the mass destruction.
Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it? You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. because I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Radio Free Speed Zone.
Welcome, one and all. Tony Trupiano with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everything is well where you're at. It is okie dokie where I sit.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
I take personal responsibility for everything I say, of course. Absolutely.
Five before the hour. Now, one of our listeners, Indiana Irish, just sent this to me from the White House's website. It's the text of a letter from the president to the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the President Pro Tem of the Senate. It's very quick. This is from March 18th, 2003. Dear Mr. Speaker, dear Mr. President, consistent with Section 3B of the Authorization for Use of Military Force Against Iraq Resolution of 2002 and based on information available to me, including that in the enclosed document, I determined that, 1, reliance by the United States on further diplomatic and other peaceful means alone will neither A, adequately protect the national security of the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq, nor B, likely lead to enforcement of all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq. And, 2, acting pursuant to the Constitution and Public Law 107-243 is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. Sincerely, George W. Bush. Now, what does that sound like to you? It depends on what the word is, right? We impeached a president because he lied under oath, at least everybody said he did, about sex with that woman. Now, I've said this before, I don't know what it is in the rest of the countries, geographically, but you ask a southern girl or a southern man if what Monica did for Bill is considered having sex, and they will laugh you off the planet. No, that's not having sex, you moron, Malloy. That's just what you do before you have sex. Or that's what we do over here at the sorority house when we have our dates in. That's so they won't want sex. We do that for them. Or to keep our cousins from getting pregnant. That's what we do. Anyway, so Bill Clinton lied about sex, and we impeached him. George Bush lies about two wars, and he's still in office? What the hell is wrong with us? Well, the answer to that question lies within the fact that 70% of the American public believes Saddam Hussein had his hands in the attacks on this country on September 11th. Astonishing.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Residents in the Outer Banks of North Carolina who didn't evacuate before Hurricane Isabel made landfall are without water, power, or food. North Carolina Governor Mike Easley says that may be the situation for a few more days.
Until we get roads back in, we can't get power back up. Highway 12, I believe it is covered with sand for a very extended period.
Stranded residents are using boats to get materials they need, but the governor says that's not a reliable source. Easley says we're in an emergency situation and we're going to treat it that way. He plans to have crews working on the highway as soon as possible. He has also vowed to look at ways to shore up the main coastal highway from being washed out every time adverse weather strikes the Outer Banks. Embattled California Governor Gray Davis appeared before a group of Democrats in Los Angeles with former Vice President Al Gore by his side. Davis spoke to a crowd protesting his recall, claiming that Republicans want to steal his governorship.
My friends, the Republicans are trying to steal an election they could not win. That's why we're here today.
He says there are no grounds for his recall as he has not done anything criminal or grossly abused the office. Davis claimed the only reason he's being recalled is because certain individuals didn't like how the election turned out. Davis believes the recall will be defeated. He contends the recall is going to make elected officials more timid and more reluctant to make tough decisions. Davis likens the recall to a parent giving their child rules to live by. He said if you discipline your child, how would you like to be recalled as a parent?
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
At least 6 people are reported dead in Afghanistan after an explosion tore through a home adjacent to the U.S. military headquarters. The house belonged to a local arms trader, and authorities believe munitions being stored there were accidentally set off. It's not thought the explosion was in any way an attack on the base. Owen Fay reports.
The arms trader lived next to Bagram Airport, the base for U.S. and coalition troops in Afghanistan. Authorities believe that arms and munitions being stored in the house were accidentally triggered, causing 2 explosions within moments of each other. 6 people were reportedly killed immediately and several others injured. Coalition troops were among those helping to remove the injured and put out a fire. What's not known is how so many dangerous weapons were allowed to be stored so close to a base housing more than 12,000 coalition forces. Owen Fay, Washington.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Look for the union label at Norwalk, Connecticut furniture stores. Sales, stock, receiving, and other workers at Huffman Coos have voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 371. Local 371 President Brian Petronella explains why.
Job security, basically. A lot of people were being hired. A lot of folks were being let go. And they wanted to make sure that they had job security at Huffman Coos.
Petronella says company officials tried to discourage the workers from unionizing, but they voted in favor. The Labor Department certified the union. Petronella says they'll now negotiate with the company. Stocks pulled back in quiet trading today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dipped 14 points to 96.44. The S&P 500 ended 3 points down to 10.36. The NASDAQ erased 3 points to end the day at 19.05. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
All right, welcome back. 7 past the hour. We have, we're going to take some phone calls here, but we also have Uncle Mike's Story Corner coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But, hey, well, we lost a lot of callers who were holding on over the break, right? Damn, sorry. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, I tell you what, I just had to call when I heard you start on this because I agree with you wholeheartedly about our media horrors.
Oh, it's awful.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to read a good one that just came out, I think, is Eric Alterman's new one in The Nation. It's called 9/11/01, Where Was George? And he goes through, you know, tells all the inconsistencies in George and all the stories that were told that day.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the last, he has one great line at the very end. His last line is, I don't have the answers to these questions, but why is no one asking them?
Right.
And then you have the story earlier this week that I think really kind of flew under the radar was the Christian and Amanpour story.
Yeah, that's CNN.
Yeah, where she comes out there and essentially says we were muzzled by our people and the government.
Right.
All the way down the line. And have you noticed another thing? Okay. A couple of weeks ago, Howard Dean's on Russert's show. He missed one question, essentially, how many troops are there in Iraq?
Yeah.
The next 3-4 days, all you hear is questioning honesty.
Oh, yeah.
Where is all this stuff? I mean, here's Cheney. They've so far, from what I've read in certain, you know, sort of left-wing websites, they've caught him in about 5 different lies just on about a half hour of that show.
Sure, sure.
And I mean, you know, and where's the questions, you know, I've not heard one mainstream person say, why wasn't Russell asking any follow-up questions? Why was he just going subject to subject to subject?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he heard something, and things that you knew were just outright lies. The one I loved was the one about when he was asking about, asked him about, you know, should we roll back the tax break?
Right.
And he said, well, this affects small businessmen because they're the ones that make over that $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, hello, I just went over to the TV and turned it off and on a couple times and went, something must be wrong with the sound.
Well, there's a reason that Bart Kopp and Media Whores Online and I and other people refer to Tim Russert as Media Whore number one. This guy is paid an enormous amount of money to ask what sounds like a very pertinent, penetrating question, a question that you might ask or I might ask. And then the reason for asking the question is to allow the person being asked, Rice or Cheney or any of these bastards, to go ahead then and give their spinning, lying answer and then no follow-up, as you point out. There's not a follow-up where Tim Russert, if he were not Media Whore number one, would come back and say, yes, but. He never does that because what he is paid to do is to go ahead and defuse the situation, defuse the questions that the viewing public may have. Well, why did this happen? So he asks that question, and then the liar gets to respond, and then that's the end of it.
Well, wait till the next time. I'm sure now with his announcement, he'll have Wesley Clark on, and I bet you he'll ask him a 12-part question.
Yeah.
You know, every time he'll like, this, well, then what then this, and what then this. I tell you, the other one that's got me also on this, have you seen one person now? I watch a little Overman on MSNBC. That's about all I watch on them.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a little bit of CNN. But have you seen any of them talk to, like, John King, say, John, why didn't we bother asking him that question about was there a connection?
No.
You know what I mean? The White House press corps has got to be the biggest bunch of lemmings on the planet.
Yeah, every once in a while they try to find their courage, their spine, their backbone, their reasons that some of the women journalists to begin with that have since blown away, and they can't. They may ask. Now, I'm, of course, making exceptions for Russell Mokyber and Helen Thomas.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people who ask some real hard-ass questions, but... for the most part, the White House press corps is nothing more than media whores.
Oh, I know.
Media whores and lemmings.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, in fact, well, that's one thing I miss about having Jake Tapper with ABC. I enjoyed him sometimes because he would tell the truth. You know, he's the one we found out about when they had the original Gore-Bush debate.
Yeah.
And he was the one that broke the story, the fact that the press was back there booing Gore every time he talked in the press room. I saw one editorial you might want to look at. It's in the... StarTribune.com, which I believe is Minneapolis Star
Minneapolis,
Tribune.
Yeah.
It's called Editorial, Truth / Too Little of It in Iraq.
Yeah.
And it has to do with Clark, talking about Richard Clark's story and all this stuff and Condoleezza. Oh, yeah. Have you noticed the other thing? You know, about a month ago, we had all this stuff with Condoleezza and all these people got caught in the lies.
Mm-hmm.
Then they disappeared for the August. Now, they came back up in September, and they were back, like, on Russert's show, and not one question about what they were caught lying about the month before.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I tell you, it just gets you worked up so good.
Yes, it does.
Gets the blood going.
Luke, thanks for checking in, pal.
You too, Mike. Have a good weekend.
You too. Appreciate your call. Jim is calling one of our cadre of over-the-road long-distance truck drivers somewhere in Ohio, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jim.
Yeah. I have a couple comments. Number one, you remember when candidate Bush was in one of the debates said, we will not go into a war unless we have a clear exit plan?
And we are not into nation building. That's what that scumbag Bill Clinton did. Yeah, I remember that.
That's right. And also, I remember Comrade Limbaugh. He used to call everybody comrade.
Right.
He was telling the truth. Everybody thought he was joking. But he got up there one day on one of the shows and said, if Bush will just attack Iraq, nobody's going to care what reason he gave. They're not going to argue with him if we win.
Oh,
they're going to forget all these arguments.
Well, that shows, you know, a lot of people refer to Limbaugh as a Nazi. He refers to himself as a Nazi. He's got a song out, I'm a Nazi. And he is a Nazi.
No, I think he's more of a capitalistic communist.
You think so?
He calls everybody comrade. He marches. He goes to the marching orders of Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Remember, every day Karl Rove will give out talking points to various people within the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, half the time, if you listen to people when they call CNN,
right,
or they'll turn or their C-SPAN,
right,
they start reading their little speeches. That comes right from the Central Committee.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
You know, I mean, this is it. I mean, they're the capitalistic communists of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Central Committee is made up of big people like the Bush family, Rupert Murdoch, who both of families are doing business in China and have been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were doing business in China back when China was the bad guys.
That's right.
China's not the bad guys. Now, China is just one more market that U.S. corporations want to really tap into.
And if you'll remember, in fact, for the first time on the Central Committee, when they come out and they present themselves once a year on the dais, they were wondering how far away was this one businessman going to sit from the, I guess you call him the premier.
Right.
I wonder when we'll see Bush or Rupert Murdoch up there.
Probably very soon.
But I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Not if I could remember it. I'll have to call you back on it.
Well, did it have to do with Iraq? Have to do with Bush voting?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's kind of like a comment, but it's also a question.
Okay.
If you'll notice, the more Saddam Hussein cooperated with the UN, the more panicky the Bush, our good King George got.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. He had to have his attack on Iraq. He had to have it.
Right. And I think there's a reason we all forgot about it. We all know about the oil. We all know about corporate profits.
Right.
But if you'll remember, he presented, 12,000-page document to the UN.
Right.
And amongst those 12,000 pages was a list of suppliers for chemicals and biologics. And a great many of them were Americans. And guess what? I don't think the list has ever been published in a newspaper.
I don't think here in this country. There was an attempt in Germany and France and Great Britain to show how companies in those countries had contributed to the buildup of Saddam's the so-called weapons of mass destruction. But and I think there was a list someplace. I don't think it was published in this country. Maybe it was of American corporations. It didn't get down to the specifics, but it did. Unless I'm completely wrong here, Jim, I think something was published, but maybe not in this country, maybe not in detail.
I hate to say it, I don't think anything's ever been published in this country.
Probably not.
Squash. And I know, here's one other thing that ties into it. Why was it George, when he first took office, sealed his father's papers through an executive order? Why was he so ashamed of his father doing?
Well, but part of that is Iran-Contra, what occurred in the 80s when George Herbert Walker Bush and Oliver North and Elliot Abrams and John Negroponte and Otto Reich and all these people were involved in the killing, slaughtering of tens of thousands of people in Central America. So that's all hidden now.
That's right. Also, maybe our involvement in good old Saddam Hussein's experiments with chemicals and biologics on human beings.
Yeah. All right.
Remember, our CIA was over there. And the funny thing is, I remember when they came across all those documents on the research for the dispersion. But they all ended around 1988.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember they said, but we're going to go through them and we will expose the whole truth.
Yeah, right.
Just like one of Dan Burton's committees, we never heard anything more from it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, Jim. Drive safely, okay?
You got it. Be careful.
All right, sir. Have a good weekend, too. Listen to us. Listen to Jim and me. Listen to you and I, or you and me. Listen what we're talking about. We're talking about corruption of an unimaginable level at the highest levels of the United States government. We're talking about mass death, lies, destruction, wars, killing, overthrowing governments, just Listen to us. Listen to what we're talking about. This is what the Bush crime family has taken us to. It's just an outrage. We're going to do Uncle Mike's story corner, but I guess we'll have to wait until we'll have to wait a few more minutes. Uncle Mike's story corner this time comes from Tim Predmore. He is a U.S. soldier on active duty with 101st Airborne, based near Mosul in northern Iraq. And a version of our story corner story tonight appeared in the Peoria, Illinois Journal Star. So the author of tonight's story corner piece is Tim Predmore, U.S. soldier on active duty with 101st Airborne Division. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I turned the other cheek.
Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council. The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Past the hour. 800 Talk Yes is the number. Vernon is calling from Kansas City, Kansas. Hey, Vernon.
Hi, Mike. Hey, did you read the story about Chairman quit stock exchange in fear over pay?
Yeah, the guy that made $140 million last year and the greedy pig, and he's supposed to regulate the stock exchange, and the companies who are members paid this unconscionable punk $140 million. So he turned down a $24 million bonus, but he resigned. Oh, poor thing, huh?
I know. I cried when I read it. But here was a quote. They said, unlike many executives whose pay has drawn fire in recent years, Mr. Grasso has been applauded for his management, including his strong leadership and ability to reopen the markets after September 11th.
Yeah.
What a clown.
Well, he reopened the market in Lower Manhattan based on a fraudulent EPA report that was made fraudulent by the Bush crime family. And God only knows how many hundreds, if not thousands, of people now at some point in their lives are going to become ill or die prematurely because Mr. Grasso went along with the BS and had the stock exchange open and Wall Street open so the business of America could get back in business. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And this comes from the New York Times, and they're saying this is the first time a man has been fired for doing a good job.
Yeah, for doing a good job. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, when did the market really do well since Bush has been in office?
Well, I don't think it has. I mean, that's...
Well, what good job has he done then?
Well, he's made it easy for the members of the New York Stock Exchange to get away with fraud, deception, lies, cheating, stealing. You know, when you do something like that in Tony Soprano's organization, you're paid a bonus.
Hey, but these boys are so stupid, they didn't know how much they were paying him.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say. They said, hey, we don't know how much... We didn't know he got that much money. We knew we paid him, but not that much.
$140 million. Oh, God. Well, whatever.
Can you imagine?
Whatever the traffic will bear, right?
Only if it would come my way, I'd take half.
Vernon! Hey, thanks for checking in, pal.
You too.
All right, you have a good weekend. Who sent me this? Reverend Debu. There is an article that's going to be in tomorrow's Washington Post about how angry protests are mounting among families of Army National Guard and Army Reserve troops as the full impact of this new policy by Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld requiring those forces to serve year-long tours in Iraq began to hit home across the country. Yeah, we talked about this months ago, didn't we? About how much longer will reservists, you know, Army Reserve, that's support units. Those are MPs and medical people and construction crews. And the National Guard, those are Army units, but you know, unless there is some severe reason, they are left under the control of the various state of governors. And these are people who, these are not 19 and 20-year-old kids who are willing to go fight and die because of, for corporate America, because they don't have the sense God gave a pissant. These are middle-aged people. The, you know, in the Army Reserve, these are people who may have served 4 years or 6 years of active duty, and they get out and they decide, well, you know, it might be nice to be in the reserve. I want to do something for my country if an emergency comes up, or a National Guard. I want to do something for my country if an emergency comes up here in Michigan or here in Georgia or here in South Carolina. You know, I can contribute, and then they find themselves in Iraq. George Bush is a psychopath. There's a reaction building. There is a reaction building.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
In the last 5 days, we have successfully concluded negotiations with five of the largest manufacturers in the world. That's five for five.
That's Ron Gettelfinger, president of the United Auto Workers, announcing tentative contracts with General Motors and auto parts supplier Delphi yesterday, the last auto companies to settle with the UAW. All parties are keeping details of the agreements to themselves, though leaked information indicates that contracts include more modest wage increases than the union's previous agreement, higher prescription drug co-payments, fewer restrictions on factory closings, and a two-tier wage system at parts suppliers that will see new hires receive salaries about 30% lower than current wages. A $3,000 signing bonus would sweeten the deal. Collectively, the agreements cover more than 300,000 active auto industry workers and 500,000 retirees and spouses.
Soldiers and police officers now run Sri Lanka's public hospitals after some 80,000 medical technicians and other hospital support staff went on indefinite strike Wednesday. The Health Services Trade Union Alliance is protesting the poverty-level salary structure of hospital workers. The government says it can't afford to give raises.
American corporations hold a collective $400 billion worth of underfunded pension plans, but don't expect to see that gap narrowed anytime soon. This week, the Senate Finance Committee voted to relax rules that would require companies to shore up their pension funds, potentially a $60 billion break to corporate America over the next 3 years. While the bill would give relief to companies whose pension funds have been decimated by the collapse of the 1990s stock market bubble, critics say it would only worsen the country's pension crisis, leading to more defaults on workers' retirement funds.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
It's Mike Malloy.
Okay, we can't let a week go by without one episode of Uncle Mike's Story Corner, right? Cue the music, Miss Producer. It's that time again. Truth seekers, kitties, got your snugglies on? Gather around. It's time for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. All right, tonight it comes from Tim Predmore. He's a U.S. soldier on active duty with the 101st Airborne Division based near Mosul in northern Iraq. A version of this article appeared in the Peoria, Illinois Journal Star. The headline is, "We are facing death in Iraq for no reason." For the past 6 months, I have been participating in what I believe to be the great modern lie, Operation Iraqi Freedom. After the horrific events of September 11, 2001, and throughout the battle in Afghanistan, the groundwork was being laid for the invasion of Iraq. Shock and awe were the words used to describe the display of power that the world was going to view upon the start of Operation Iraqi Freedom. It was to be an up-close, dramatic display of military strength and advanced technology from within the arsenals of the American and British military. But as a soldier preparing to take part in the invasion of Iraq, the words shock and awe rang deep within my psyche. Even as we prepared to depart, it seemed that these two great superpowers were about to break the very rules that they demanded others obey. Without the consent of the United Nations, and ignoring the pleas of their own citizens, the U.S. and Britain invaded Iraq. Shock and awe? Yes, the words correctly described the emotional impact I felt as we embarked on an act not of justice, but of hypocrisy. From the moment the first shot was fired in the so-called War of Liberation and Freedom, hypocrisy reigned. After the broadcasting of recorded images of captured and dead U.S. soldiers on Arab television, American and British leaders vowed revenge while verbally assaulting the networks for displaying such vivid images. Yet within hours of the deaths of Saddam Hussein's sons, the U.S. government released horrific photographs of the two dead brothers for the entire world to view. Again, a do-as-we-say-not-as-we-do scenario. As soldiers serving in Iraq, we have been told that our purpose is to help the people of Iraq by providing them with the necessary assistance, militarily as well as in humanitarian efforts. Then tell me where the humanity is in the recent account in Stars and Stripes of two young children brought to a U.S. military camp by their mother in search of medical care. The two children had unknowingly been playing with explosive ordnance they had found, and as a result, they were severely burned. The account in Stars and Stripes tells how, after an hour-long wait, they, the two children, were denied care by two U.S. military doctors. A soldier described the incidents as one of many atrocities on the part of the U.S. military he has witnessed. Thankfully, I have not personally been a witness to atrocities, unless, of course, you consider, as I do, that this war in Iraq is the ultimate atrocity. So what is our purpose here? Was this invasion because of weapons of mass destruction, as we have so often heard? If so, where are they? Did we invade to dispose of a leader and his regime because they were closely associated with Osama bin Laden? If so, where is the proof? Or is it that our incursion is about our own economic advantage? Iraq's oil can be refined at the lowest cost of any in the world. This looks like a modern-day crusade not to free and oppress people, or to rid the world of a demonic dictator relentless in his pursuit of conquest and domination, but a crusade to control another nation's national resource. Oil, at least to me, seems to be the reason for our presence. There's only one truth, and it is that Americans are dying. There are an estimated 10 to 14 attacks every day on our servicemen and women in Iraq. As the body count continues to grow, it would appear that there is no immediate end in sight. I once believed that I was serving for a cause, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now I no longer believe that. I have lost my conviction as well as my determination. I can no longer justify my service on the basis of what I believe to be half-truths and bold lies. With age comes wisdom, and at 36 years old, I am no longer so blindly led as to believe without question. From my arrival last November at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, talk of deployment was heard, and as that talk turned to actual preparation, my heart sank and my doubts grew. My doubts have never faded. Instead, it has been my resolve and my commitment that have. My time here is almost done, as well as that of many others with whom I have served. We have all faced death in Iraq without reason, without justification. How many more must die? How many more tears must be shed before Americans awake and demand the return of the men and women whose job it is to protect them rather than their leaders' interest? It's pretty heavy duty. From a U.S. soldier in the 101st Airborne on active duty in Iraq. Said along with other articles that we covered tonight and some that we didn't at MikeMalloy.com at some point this evening or early morning when the program's over. A little bit, it is so difficult, I guess, it's difficult for me anyway, since I hate snakes and I hate liars. It's difficult to talk about any topic other than the situation in Iraq. The latest, U.S. troops opened fire on a car carrying an Italian diplomat who holds a senior position in Iraq's U.S.-led administration. His Iraqi interpreter was killed. That's according to American military sources. Pietro Cordone, senior advisor on culture for the U.S.-led authority, was unhurt. Italian foreign ministry sources said. Cordone has been leading efforts in Iraq to recover antiquities looted from museums and archaeological sites. According to U.S. military sources, Cordone's car was shot at after it repeatedly tried to overtake a U.S. convoy near Tikrit. According to the U.S. military, soldiers repeatedly warned the car not to overtake and opened fire when they thought the vehicle was trying to ram them. Many Iraqis, of course, accuse U.S. troops of being too quick to open fire and failing to follow rules of engagement. Human rights groups say many innocent Iraqis have been killed. The U.S. says it keeps no figures on civilian casualties. No, why should we? Why should we? They're just these babbling tall heads. It doesn't make any difference. How many are dead? Well, who cares? Remember what it was like in Vietnam? Hey, what's the body count today? Hey, how many KIAs do we get? Hey, how many gooks did we off today? Hey, how many slopes are gone? Hey! Not now. We don't care. Last week, the Army apologized after soldiers in the town of Fallujah killed 10 Iraqi security guards. Remember that? And a Jordanian, in a gun battle that was later described as an accident. That's not an accident. That's not an accident. That shows that the officer corps in Iraq is incompetent. That's not an accident. U.S. troops killed a teenager Wednesday night when they opened fire after hearing celebratory gunshots from a wedding, thinking they were under attack. How many dead in that one? And then award-winning Reuters cameraman Mazen Dana, shot dead by a U.S. soldier on the outskirts of Baghdad. Remember that story? The official U.S. Army statement was the soldier mistook Dana's camera for a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. Who is running things in Iraq? For you men, and I would imagine a few women listen to this program, who have been in actual combat and do understand, like those of us who have not been in combat do not understand. You do understand how things can go crazy when you're in a combat situation. But to this extent, to this degree, in this kind of a situation where we continue to blow civilians away, where our people continue to be shot up, there's no point to sit here and screech and scream. Dick Cheney has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from Halliburton since taking office, while he continues to lie and say he has no financial interest in the company, right? How many times have you heard that? Democrats. Ooh, Democrats. Tom Daschle and Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey. Ooh, they're demanding. We demand to know why Cheney claimed to have cut his ties with the oil services company, Halliburton, you know. And Halliburton got all those big no-bid contracts for work in Iraq. And you know what? Dick's still receiving large deferred salary payments. No fair. Gotta stop. Well, okay, it doesn't have to stop. I don't know. Tom Daschle said in a statement, quote, the vice president needs to explain how he reconciles the claim that he has no financial interest in Halliburton of any kind, but the hundreds of thousands of dollars in deferred salary payments he receives from Halliburton. On NBC's Meet the Press Sunday, Cheney said he had severed all ties with Halliburton. He said, I have no financial interest in Halliburton of any kind and haven't had now for over 3 years. Well, the Democrats are not going to push that. Democrat leadership, again, why do not all 10 of the Democratic presidential hopefuls call a press conference? Could they all just get together for a moment? You know, everybody from Wesley Clark to Carol Moose LeBron, couldn't they all get together, have a press conference and say, look, this guy is lying. He's lying through his teeth. He lies every time he opens his mouth. He is receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in compensation from Halliburton. He is a war profiteer. He is standing hip deep in the blood of dead Americans and dead Iraqis while he continues to make money, which we don't understand because he's soon going to die. His heart it's going to give out. What is he doing? Whatever it's doing, he's doing it. Bart Kopp's depiction of the Democratic leadership, the pink tutu Democrats, is right on, isn't it? Huh? They all hold hands and dance around. Oh, we don't want to offend our president, Mike. Come on, Mike. Now, don't be that way. This is our president, and he's at war, and we have to support him. We just really do. If Dick Cheney says he has no ties to Halliburton, then he doesn't, even if the money is rolling in every month. Huh? A Cheney spokeswoman confirmed that this thug has been receiving the deferred compensation payments from Halliburton, but she disputed that his statements on Meet the Press had been misleading. There's nothing misleading when the vice president says, I have no financial interest in Halliburton of any kind and haven't had now for 3 years. Nothing. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Cheney had already earned the salary that was now being paid, the spokeswoman said, adding that once he became a nominee for vice president, he purchased an insurance policy to guarantee that the deferred salary would be paid to him, whether or not Halliburton survived as a company. So, she said, he has no financial interest in the company. Really? Cheney's financial disclosure filings with the Office of Government Ethics... listed $205,298 in deferred salary payments made to him by Halliburton. Another $162,393 last year. The filings indicate he's scheduled to receive more payments this year and in 2004 and in 2005 and on and on and on. This thug is making more from Halliburton than his salary as vice president. Who cares? Nobody cares. We here in the established media of the United States of America, we report on things. We do. We report on Kobe Bryant, and we do report on what's going on in Iraq. But this is our vice president, Mike. And you know, when our president says there's no connection between Saddam Hussein and the attack on this country, we report it. We may put it on page 20 or page 40 or page 9 or page 6. But it's unfair of you, Mike, to go on your cheesy little radio program and tell people that we are not doing our job. And it's also cheesy of you to suggest that the Democratic Party leadership is not doing its job. So shame on you, Mike Malloy. Shame on you. Shame on you. Okay, what about Halliburton's Kellogg, Brown, and Root that has been granted options in Iraq for reconstruction of up to $7 billion over the next 5 years. Now, all of this is hidden because it involves national security. That information comes from Judicial Watch, the public interest organization run by the crazy Larry Klayman. Just never stops, does it? Stay with us.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Yeah. Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for a man.
Boy, and we thought we were all sad and depressed when that music came out all those years ago, right? Yeah. Finally, this tonight, American airliners, you know, jetliners, what we all fly on, including me, may be fitted here very soon with systems to combat terrorist-fired missiles under a plan to which the White House has committed $100 million in research funds. This is according to The Guardian of London. The Department of Homeland Security is making what's referred to as aggressive efforts to adapt systems used by the armed forces. That's according to a document sent to defense contractors. U.S. military planes, of course, are equipped with jamming technologies and flares intended to disrupt the trajectories of shoulder-launch missiles. But Steve Israel, a Democrat congressman from Long Island, welcomed the White House funding, but said the government should move fast to install shoulder-fired missile defenses on each and every one of the 6,800 commercial planes sooner rather than later. Well, as my senior correspondent pointed out today, Chris in Minnesota, flares and jamming devices on commercial jets to prevent them being shot down by shoulder-launched missiles. We keep hearing about how they're going to hijack planes. They're going to hijack planes. I have a really stupid question, Chris writes. If there are hijackers on the plane, what good are devices that affect what happens outside the plane? Right? Then again, this is what the Bush administration is proposing. Hey, you guys have a great weekend, all right? Program engineered by Jay Balicki in Detroit tonight, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Go to MikeBeloy.com, check it out. Thanks to our webmaster, Mark Marshall, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Have a nice weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month, you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is iAmerica Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Thousands of Baltimore area residents are without power after Hurricane Isabel, and that means refrigerated foods have probably spoiled. City Health Commissioner Dr. Peter Bielenson has some guidelines.
Perishable food, meats, dairy products, etc., that has not been refrigerated appropriately for 2 hours or longer should be thrown out. If you have any doubt, when in doubt, throw it out.
Foods that have been soaked by floodwaters should also be thrown out. Frozen foods can generally last up to 24 hours. Dr. Bielenson says after the August power outages in New York City, emergency room visits increased due to illnesses caused by spoiled food. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will again tackle California's controversial recall election. The full bench of the appellate court has agreed to reconsider a ruling made Monday by three judges from the court delaying the October 7th vote. Chuck Diamond, who argued the appeal to the